I wanted to make a comment that Paul says, I won't build on another man's foundation. And another place he says in 1 Corinthians 3, I think it is, another foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart that it, except for special occasions, you know, in those situations, it's pretty hard to build when you're building on somebody else's foundation, when they're not a foundation of the Word of God, not Jesus Christ and Him crucified, resurrected, raised from the dead, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and us walking in the same Spirit. I mean, it's pretty hard to build on somebody else's religious things. And I think of that scripture that says it. And why do you seek the living among the dead? When you're dealing with these religious institutions, most of them are clueless, you know, and the people there are clueless. And the scripture that comes to me in those situations is, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. That our life should be like that, like it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. But salt causes people to be thirsty when they taste of salt. And he says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And I believe that really the best way to work with religious people is not to go into their institutions and to try to be light in the middle of on another foundation. But in the world around us and in the neighborly relationships and in those that are the salt of our life would cause a thirst within them. And as he says, when you sanctify the Lord God in your heart, then be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. That our light, he says, you are epistles known and read of all men. And when we're in a place where we're truly filled with light, we're a city that cannot be hidden, like a city on a hill, the light of the world, you're the light of the world. And I believe that more and more, these institutions are going to become more and more irrelevant as the days get darker and as the intensity level increases and as things fall apart more and more in our society. And they're going to come to a place where it says in the scripture, the hirelings are all going to, it says some of them are going to flee. It says they all will flee when the wolf comes. The business of religion is about to become very non-profit. And you can't find people that are making a bunch of bucks in Syria preaching the gospel, or in North Korea, or in China, or in Indonesia, or other places where people suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. They don't get a nickel for that. They pay a price to be a vessel there. And more and more that's going to become the issue here. But I think that if we can be consistent, there's going to come a time when that scripture will be fulfilled that says, they're going to come asking you a reason of the hope that is within you, because if you, it's the city, the Sun Hill cannot be hidden. It's not going to be hidden, especially in this hour. And right now, while everybody's still in a time of prosperity, there's still a little bit of arrogance of flesh all over the place and religious, but that stuff's going to become so irrelevant. Religion is just flat going to be, they're going to realize they don't have anything that's sufficient for the storm. That's okay in a time of peace. The house on the rock and the house in the sand both stand just fine in a time of peace. But in crisis, the Lord says, I shake yet once more, not the earth only, but the heavens. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of the things that are shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. It's going to be the catalyst that brings forth the true, is the shaking away of the false. And more religion is going to become absolutely inconsequential and irrelevant. And those that are standing with hope and with joy, unmoved by what circumstances are saying or what the world's doing, are going to stand out like a light in a dark, dark place. And if I may, I wanted to say something. Chad, what he shared a little while ago stirred something really deep in my spirit. And I just want to say this. I really believe with all of my heart, when Chad was talking about that yearning in his heart, for just that stirring that's going on in his spirit, and I sense the same thing. And we've talked about this before, but I really believe, you know, it talks about the early and the latter rain, and there's a rain that prepares the harvest, and the latter rain is greater than the former rain. And I believe with all of my heart that that's the latter rain is beginning to come upon the true saints of God, and there's going to be out of it a real fruitfulness is going to come, a mighty anointing is going to come. And I sense in my spirit right now that word, I think it's in Psalm 110 maybe, and it says something to the effect of thy people shall volunteer freely in the day of thy power. And there's a, I really believe that in my spirit, I sense, it says Elijah went out and he told his servant to go out. And he says, this is after 3.5 years of famine and no water hadn't rained on 3 years and 6 months on the whole earth. And he sent his servant out, and his servant went out on the hillside. He said, go see. And he came back and said, thy servant sees nothing. He says, go again. He went out again. He says, go again. The seventh time he comes back and says, I see a little cloud like the size of a man's hand. And Elisha says, run, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And I hear in my spirit, brothers and sisters, I hear the sound. I see a little cloud on the horizon in my spirit. And I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And I believe it's that word, to him that has, to him shall be given more. He that has not, from him shall be taken even what he has. And what Brother Henry Gruber said, get ready, brothers. There's getting to be ready to be a multiplication in the spirit. And right now, there's a grace of God, and we're coming to the day of his power. And there's a time when God is going to visit the true saints of God. and that same rain that rains on the garden, it brings forth the true, and it also makes the tares grow up, and the weeds grow up. And I think that this same showers are going to have the same effect. It's going to bring everything to fruition. But I just, in my spirit right now, I think of that scripture that says, being born again, it's in 1 Peter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass. The glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And there's something right now that when we plant corn in a garden, out comes corn. Everything brings forth after its own kind. And as that scripture that Michael was talking the other day about, Michael Hare was speaking in 1 Corinthians 15, for this corruptible, no, it says, flesh and blood, brethren, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass this saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point is this, we've had a planting in our lives right now. And it's incorruptible seed by the word of God. It's the nature of Jesus Christ, and it's going to bring forth after its own kind. And what it says in the fourth chapter of Mark, the kingdom of God is as a man casts seed in the ground, and he rises up day and night, and he knows not how it grows, but the earth brings forth of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You've had a planting, we've all had a planting of the Lord in our life, that incorruptible seed. And if that thing is nurtured and watered, it will bring forth. The reason he said he rises up day and night, it's almost like, is this thing going to grow? Is it not going to grow? Brethren, this thing is coming forth, and the nature of Jesus Christ is going to be manifest in us. Paul says, I travail in pain again until Christ, travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. Christ is growing in our lives, that nature of Jesus Christ, by the planting of that born-again experience and at the watering of the Holy Spirit, and he's getting ready to bring forth. And I can tell you in my spirit right now that we're approaching a day of... it's going to be a strange contradiction, because on one hand, for those that are pursuing the Lord, whose hearts are toward him, there's getting ready to be a great multiplication. To him that has, to him shall be given more, and he will have abundance. But to him that has not, from him is going to be taken what he has. There's going to be the same thing happening at the same time. It's a judgment on the blindness of hearts of those that will not love the truth, and they're going to have poverty. But those that are hungry for the Lord, prepare your hearts, brothers and sisters. Prepare your hearts. Stretch, that scripture in Isaiah 54, where it says, stretch forth your tent stakes, enlarge the borders of your habitation, for you're going to break forth on the right hand and on the left. There's getting ready to be a visitation, but this is on those who have truly set their hearts for the Lord, because it's in the day of the Lord is in his heart, but he's getting ready to prepare people. He's not going to have the devil go out with a roar, and then he himself go out with a whimper. God is going to have a great manifestation of his glory on this earth. As he said to the church of Thyatira, And he says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them. No, he says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter, they shall be dashed into shivers, even as I have received my Father. Christ, it says that about the head, Jesus Christ, twice in the Scripture, and two times it says the same thing about his body. He is the head, we are his body. And God is going to have a people that manifests his authority and his glory. And right now, this is the preparation, and that's going to be that great abundance of rain that comes upon us in the Spirit that prepares us for this hour, because we need a new anointing. When the early church had great grace upon them all, we need a greater grace in this hour. And I'm just to tell you, brothers, God's troubling the water. Get in.